The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day, this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. First up, a thank you to everyone who came and chipped yesterday or helped us chip. Lots of stuff we found, and everybody successfully avoided both getting fingers in the chipper and the poison oak, so it was a good day to be had by all. This week, our seminary class begins tomorrow morning, Issues in Theological Anthropology. So we're going to talk about some weird stuff like transhumanism, bioethics, artificial intelligence, and all those sorts of things. So if you want to come and sit in a little bit during those days, 9:30 to 4:30 each day, we'll be meeting in the Hangout. Monday through Thursday. Friday we'll cut off a little bit early. Beginning today, no Bible class following church until September, till Rally Day comes around again. So take note of that, Sunday school and Bible class on summer hiatus. In our prayers today, we remember Marga, who is out of the hospital but recovering from an infection. Also, we remember today Lindsay Souza, who rolled her ankle yesterday, but they're not sure if it might be broken or not. They're getting it checked out at the hospital. So we remember them in our prayers as well. The service is before you. We'll follow that. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, Father, In the name of Jesus, amen. To hear the one whom Jesus sends is to hear Jesus himself. To reject the one whom Jesus sends is to reject Jesus. And to reject Jesus is to reject the Father who sent him. Those are the words that are at the heart of this morning's gospel. Good news, the gospel, to those who receive. Bad news, the law, to those who reject. It's all in the sending. The Father sends Jesus. He doesn't go on his own initiative. And Jesus, in turn, sends others. And so his sending of the 72 is one of the foundation stones for the office of the Holy Ministry. And you heard it just a few moments ago. By virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. He who hears you, Jesus says, hears me. You have Jesus' word on it. And so the 72 were sent into Judea ahead of Jesus. Jesus has turned his face to Jerusalem. He is drawn inexorably to Jerusalem to die for the sin of the world. And so there's an urgency in his sending. The harvest is ripe. There's no time to waste. So he sends the 72 as laborers into the harvest to grab what's ripe for the picking. He sends them empty and dependent and with nothing to offer the world but his word. No wallet, no backpack, no extra pair of shoes, which is how you know he sent men. They only had one pair of shoes. This is no vacation trip with the family. Not even a polite greeting along the road, he says. The urgency is too great. The kingdom of God has come. So would you want to go under those terms? The honest answer is, nope. Pick that guy. Somebody else, Jesus. But then you can rejoice and you can be exceedingly glad that Jesus isn't speaking to you here, but to the 72. He doesn't call you to leave your house and your home, to travel without a wallet or a second pair of shoes, or to live off the hospitality of others, because you have your own calling. Your vocation as father or mother, as son or daughter, as citizen or member of a parish, as a neighbor, a worker, a friend. These too have their risks and their dangers. And sometimes you don't want to be there either. So the 72 are sent to proclaim peace from the Prince of Peace. Peace be to this house, they are to say. It's more than a happy greeting. Good morning, can I tell you about Jesus? No, it's a blessing. It gives what the words say. Peace. Shalom. A peace that passes all understanding, a peace that this world cannot give, peace that comes from the cross-inflicted wounds of Jesus. That's the peace they're sent to deliver. And with shalom, with that peace, comes healing. Peace to the body. Heal the sick, Jesus says. He gives them the same authority over sickness that he has. For Jesus came to bear your sickness and all that sin has done to destroy the shalom of this world, right down to the cellular level in your bodies. And so healing for them is a sign that the kingdom of God has come near. And we have an even greater sign, Jesus' own body and blood, which strengthens and preserves both body and soul to life everlasting, the medicine of immortality. So after he sent them To receive any of those 72 into their homes was to receive the peace and the health of Jesus. The kingdom of God has come near. Your sins are forgiven. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Words from Jesus himself to you through his under-shepherd, the one that he has sent to you, that you might hear and believe. Our Lutheran confessions quote this gospel text as well. And it says, when the called ministers of Christ deal with us according to his mandate and institution, those words are as valid and certain in heaven also as though Christ himself were dealing with us. And they go on to say that absolution is a living voice of the gospel, a voice coming down from heaven. So even when the owner of the voice is less than honorable, because remember, Judas was one of those sent by Jesus too, nevertheless, those words are Jesus' words, and the peace is Jesus' peace. He who hears you hears me. And so it only goes wrong in the rejection. To those who would reject the 72, even the dust clinging to the bottom of their feet testifies against them. So the only way out is to refuse to be in. And so Jesus underscores that with his woes. Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida, and woe to you, Capernaum. All of them, Jewish, Israelite cities, cities that had a lot of Jesus. But Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, they compare favorably. That wicked city of Sodom, you remember, it's consumed by fire and brimstone from heaven. Even Sodom fares better than the Israelite city that rejects Jesus as Savior. So the only way out is to refuse to be in. So what is unforgivable about the unforgivable sin is not how bad it is, it's not how destructive it is, but rather that it refuses God's free forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins that is there freely all along for everyone. As near as the word that is preached, as near as the waters of baptism, as near as the bread and wine become body and blood. And this is how the kingdom of God is revealed to you. But to refuse these gifts, to reject what Jesus has died to win for you, to reject those who are sent to you, that is how one incurs the judgment of God's wrath. And Jesus himself says it, you shall be brought down to Hades. And it's entirely unnecessary. The 72 returned overflowing with joy. Even the demons submitted to us in your name, they say. They had great fun casting out demons and healing the sick and preaching the kingdom. I mean, such great fun it was, stomping on the snakes and the scorpions, recognizing that though devils all the world should fill, they can harm us none. It's heady stuff. And authority can go to one's head. But authority does not rest on the person who has it, but on the one who gave it. Because authority is nothing more than permission to act given by one to another. Authority is always given. Even Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, has it not on his own terms, but because it was given to him by God the Father. So the big thing in the kingdom of God is not who has the authority or who holds the office. It's not about everyone being ministers or pastors being the same as everyone else. Because to each is given as the Lord sees fit. for the good of all. The big thing, that which is cause for rejoicing, is that your names are written in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, written in blood that was shed for you and for your sins. Your names are written in the new creation. As surely as baptismal water is poured over you, as surely as Jesus' absolving words are spoken into your ears, as surely as bread that is body and wine that is blood goes into your mouths, so surely are your names written in the book of life. And this is why the Father sent His Son into the world. This is why the Son sends His pastors to tell with all certainty that the kingdom of God has come near to you, that Jesus has come near to you, that His peace, that His life are for you. So trust in those words today and in every day until the last day. Go to where you hear those words and take those words into your mouths with the certainty of the promise. Taste and see that the Lord is good. For these words are as certain and as sure as the one who promises that he who hears you hears me. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.